When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Wednesday, May 18th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians lose a tough one on Tuesday night. Really one that I think a lot of people probably thought that there were different times where, you know, after that Owen Miller home run in the ninth inning, I think a lot of people probably thought that this was going to go in the win column for the Guardians, but a couple of breaks didn't go their way there late in the game, and they wound up losing 5-4 in 10 innings. Not often that you see Jose Ramirez at the plate with the bases loaded in the, in a chance to win a game for Cleveland, and he strikes out on a check swing.
Yeah, that was, like we were saying before the broadcast, Joe, I mean, what, the Reds lose a game even though they throw a no-hitter, and they win a game when they, hitting the five double plays and strike out Jose Ramirez with the bases loaded in a game-winning situation.
Yeah, those five double plays, Zach Plesac talked about after the game how it can really sort of energize a club and turn it over to the offense there. That really didn't happen. They grounded into double plays in every inning between the, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh innings there. Really helped Plesac out, but it didn't translate into the kind of offense that they needed. Connor Overton really sort of kept the foot on their throat really throughout the entire game. At one point, he retired 15 batters in a row.
Yeah, I mean, he was just watching him on TV, Joe, he looked great. I mean, didn't throw real hard, but was in the strike zone. I mean, he lived in the strike zone and had great breaking stuff. It just seemed to, was always one step ahead of Cleveland's hitters.
Yeah, and that was the case until Andrés Giménez sort of snapped that streak with a slide into first base, beat the throw from the first baseman, Colin Moran, to Overton at the bag. But it was, a little bit of late offense. Miles Straw comes up with two RBIs on a sac fly and an RBI single. And then Owen Miller really comes through in the clutch, as he's been doing all season long.
Yeah, just a big, huge home run in the ninth inning. Ramirez draws a leadoff walk. And Miller he turned on that pitch. That was a beautiful swing. That was just really, really fun to watch. And ties it up. And like you said, Joe, you figure all the momentum is with Cleveland right then. Ninth inning, you're going to bat last no matter what. And they just didn't get it done. But it was really an interesting game, though. I really, I liked your game story. And it had to be a good game for, people to watch and fans to watch.
Well, and really the story of that game up until Miller's home run was Overton pretty much controlling the Guardians offense. And, you sort of rip up the lead after Miller hits that home run and makes the story something else. Miller said he was looking for a slider from the Cincinnati closer because he had seen that he tended to go to that slider a couple of times in the past, and he had faced him before. So he was hunting that pitch and to know that he got it. But it's not like the Guardians didn't have their chances there at the end. You had the play where, Palacios was on second base as the automatic runner down a run in the 10th inning. And Cincinnati uncorks a wild pitch. The ball squirts along the backstop and heads towards the third base dugout, the first base dugout. and had the Cincinnati catcher Tyler Stevenson deflected the ball before it went into the dugout, Palacios would have been awarded home plate and would have been able to score the tying run at that point. Unfortunately, Stevenson doesn't touch the ball, and by rule, because the ball was pitched and went into the dugout after that, Palacios had to stop at third.
Yeah, the ball took a right turn at the right time for the Reds and the wrong time for the Guardians. Just a weird play, but the plate umpire was on it all the way from the start. There was no really argument, no discussion. You know, Carl Willis said the umpires got it right.
Right. Yeah. And then that's sort of the heartbreaking part of it. I know after the game, a lot of the Reds players and David Bell, the manager, they all thought that they sort of got lucky on that one, because had Stevenson touched the ball, it would have been an extra base for Palacios. And, you know, we wouldn't be talking about Jose Ramirez striking out with the bases loaded. Who probably, have had at least one more chance to go up there and win the game. Just going back to Owen Miller here real quickly. A lot of people thought when they put Owen Miller in that number four spot, when Franmil Reyes started to struggle, that, oh, maybe this is a temporary thing. This is, you know, Owen Miller doesn't hit for power enough to justify being in that number four spot. But really, that four spot is less about, at least in the Guardians lineup, is less about, you know, hitting, you know, home runs and doubles, as it is about forcing pitchers to throw strikes to Jose Ramirez. And I guess we've seen that a little bit, at least, you know, Jose is maybe scuffling a little bit over the last week or so, but Miller is at least making them, keeping the other team honest when it comes to, you know, throwing pitches to Jose Ramirez.
Yeah. I think that, you know, that's, you want Jose to get some pitches, and you've got, you know, strong Kwan in front of him. You've got to have somebody that's, you know, at least a threat to, you know, either, you know, get on base, drive the ball, or, you know, just, he's going to advance, Ramirez, and he's not going to swing and miss. And what, Miller's hitting what, 387 from the seventh inning on. He's, you know, he's become a dangerous guy.
Yeah. His splits are pretty impressive in terms of, late in games and in leverage situations. I put up a story about that this morning. In high leverage situations, this is according to baseballreference.com, he's hitting 300. He is 6-4-20 with two home runs, six RBIs, and his the split OPS plus, where 100 is the league average, he is at 226 on that split. So, you know, that's pretty outstanding. He's the guy right now that you want in those situations, maybe even more than Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, and if you compare him to last year, you know, this was a guy that was, you know, trying his darndest to hit a single to right field. You know, we rarely ever saw him turn on a ball. So, you know, he's come a long way, Joe.
Yeah, after the seventh inning and later, he's batting .382 right now with an 11.24 OPS, which is, you know, pretty solid. The nice thing is we've seen a lot more of his ability to pull the ball now to left field. So Owen Miller getting the job done, and, you know, hey, we don't want to jinx anything. Let's just let's get out of here and keep it as is, because Owen Miller's doing an outstanding job so far.
Joe, I got to ask you something. You know, in the 10th inning, when they had the extra guy on second base. Now we've seen the Guardians on the road, be the visiting team and go all out to score more than one run, to get that edge. But should the Guardians have played a little small ball in the 10th inning last night? But, you know, with the 8-9 hitter coming up and Palacios on second base, Mercado struck out, and then
Mailey
pinch hitters. Yeah. So Mailey. I was wondering, You know, I don't know. You play for one run and you keep the game going at least.
Yeah, I get it. It's just not the way things are done, I think, right now in big league baseball. You saw what would happen if you let Andrés Giménez stay in there and hit, and he drives a ball off the wall in Minnesota in an extra inning game, and you get your runs that way. You know, if you think about it. So there are the two different schools in philosophy, and you know, maybe not having Terry Francona in the dugout there, I don't know if it necessarily hurt them in that situation, but maybe things would have gone differently had Francona been, you know, they're calling the shots in the moment, you know, different philosophies. I think he and Carl Willis are pretty much, you know, of the same mind or aligned, you know, pretty tightly when it comes to their philosophies on how to handle end of game situations like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. But it was interesting because you only need a run, you know, but as you can see, when you're the visitor, you want to push, you know, and you're not playing small ball.
Right. Well, you know, if you've got the first crack at it, it's like, you know, winning the coin toss in the NFL in overtime. You know, do you want the ball or do you want to play defense? Do you want to see, you know, who, you know, how your opponent does before you know what you need to do? I think at home, knowing that you need a run there, you probably want to move the runner and give yourself a chance. But, you know, you've got to have the personnel who can get a bunt down. Yeah. or can, you know, at least handle the bat. These are the times you long for like prime Omar Vizquel, when you know you can get a bunt down or you know you can put a ball in play and get it, you know, get a guy moved over to third base. All right. Our friend Rob Butcher, who's a PR guy with the Cincinnati Reds, sent along a sort of a summary and, you know, just to consider voting for the outstanding player in the Ohio Cup. Tonight's final game of the four-game series, the cup will be retained by the you know you love talking about these ridiculous you know, awards or you know, cups or these challenges, but you know, this thing's been going on for quite since 97, really. This award's been going back and forth. This is the eighth year that Cleveland will retain the cup, just by virtue of at least earning a split in the four-game series, because Cincinnati can't win it back without taking the series. So, you know, they're asking for an outstanding player in the Ohio Cup series. And, you know, there's some interesting candidates that Butcher sent along, just to think of a few. We talked about Owen Miller, and he's had an outstanding Ohio Cup series, I think. You know, if Cleveland goes on to win three of the four games, I think you've got to give it to him. But the other candidate on the Red side, who do you think might deserve it over there?
Tyler Naquin has had a great, great series against his old ball club. I thought the play he made in the ninth inning, the offensive play he made in the ninth inning last night with two outs with the, you know, he's bunting with two outs, reaches on a bunt single, first crack, he steals second, and then, you know, Farmer drives him in. I thought that was a great play. That was, you know, really smart baseball play. And he's hitting 545, 6 for 11, two homers, three RBIs. I think he's trying to prove a point, Joe.
Yeah, I'd say so. And you know, he did that last night in the ninth inning against Tyler Steffen. You know, we want to talk about the Guardians' young bullpen. Tyler Steffen, Emmanuel Classe, and Nick Sandlin each gave up a run last night. Not the ideal situation you would like if you were the Guardians, but these are the guys who really look like they're going to be carrying the bulk of the late innings for Cleveland's bullpen for the time being.
Yeah, very young, Joe. I mean, you know, Steffen, what, a Rule 5 guy. Sandlin was a rookie last year. Class A, I think, was still, you know, received votes of the Rookie of the Year last year. So, you know, really young guys, great arms. And I think, you know, these are just, you know, they gave up a run each at a critical time. But, you know, these are the three guys that are really going to grow into that, back into that bullpen. And they certainly have the stuff to do it.
Yeah, you can chalk. I think you can definitely chalk this one up to sort of growing pains for that bullpen. You're putting Stephen and, or at least Sandlin and Class. Sandlin and Class A. You're putting in, unenviable positions there. Sandlin comes in with the runner on base. What are you going to do? That's not even an earned run when he does that. If there's no runner on second base and he walks three guys and then strikes out the next two, you're out of the inning. It's not a, it's not a problem. So, where is your confidence right now though, in those three in terms of when they bring him in and where does Brian Shaw fit in that mix?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm really confident when they bring those guys in. I have a good feeling about it. I don't think we've seen the best of Class A yet for some reason. You know, that was a non-save situation too. So I don't know, we've seen closers, really kind of, they change personalities when it's a non-save as opposed to a save situation. But I like those three guys. They're really putting Sandlin in some leverage situations. And I think, I don't know if we'll see Shaw in those spots like we used to, and as an eighth inning guy. I think, if those guys have been used, two or three times in a series, I think Shaw certainly has the stuff to step in and, give those guys a breather. But maybe he's a sixth and seventh inning guy now.
Yeah, and you've got Sam Henches and why do I keep wanting to call him David Price? It's Anthony Gose. Every time I have to stop myself. He's not David Price. He's Anthony Gose. He's a far cry from David Price, but. Anthony Gose from the left side there. I think, Gose probably profiles right now to pitch the same kind of innings as Shaw, but from the left side, when things line up that way. Shaw's interesting. It was his 475th appearance for Cleveland, and that ranks now tied for third all time with Willis Hudlin, who pitched in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s for the Indians. So Willis Hudlin made, 475 appearances. The next one for Shaw is going to put him into sole possession of third place on that list. The only guys ahead of him, I believe, are Mel Harder and Bob Feller.
Yeah, that's pretty select company there. I mean, Harder and Feller were starters mostly, but obviously, you make that many appearances, and yet it's not like, Shaw spent his whole career in Cleveland. He came over from Arizona. He left for two or three years with the Rockies and Seattle, and he's come back. I mean, this guy, he can go every day, man.
Well, and that's sort of the point is like with Shaw, he wants to, he talks about that Jesse Orosco all-time appearances number, and it's sort of half jokingly, but it's sort of not. I think he really does want to pitch until pretty much his arm falls off or somebody tells him, no, you're done now. And we've seen him, be up and be down and be up again. Right now he might not be at the top of his game, but there might be a resurgence. Maybe you see him. I certainly think he'll get up around 70 appearances this year if they keep him on the roster the entire year.
Oh yeah, that's for no doubt about it. If he's healthy, Joe, he's you lock him in for 70. I mean, this was a good rebound game for him last night too, especially after that ugly game in Seattle. I mean, Minnesota. Against the Twins.
Yeah,
he came in. Three batters, hit one guy, but got the double play, got, in the seventh, no fuss, no muss, got it over with.
Yeah. Five double plays. They haven't done that in a game since 2017 against Detroit. That was a September game against Detroit in 2017. So, some things to build on, some things to work on. And again, this is a Guardians club that even when they're down late, you can't really count them out of a game. You like this in terms of building an identity and becoming who they are, these young players getting that confidence that they know you know, even when there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth, there's still a chance as long as you got one out to play with. And maybe if Owen Miller's coming to the plate as well.
It's a good, good, really kind of foundation set for this club, Joe.
Right. All right. Battle of Ohio wraps up tonight. It's Cal Quantrill and Tyler Malley. Should be a well-pitched, crisp game, hopefully. We'll see that. Hoynsie, we will check in with you again tomorrow on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.